And we're going to read God's Word today from John's Gospel, chapter 12. John's Gospel, chapter 12. And obviously, with all these songs we've been singing, we are considering the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. One of the reasons He came, light coming into the world. John chapter 12, we'll go way down to verse 35 to begin our reading. John 12, 35. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah, that is Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" The arm of the Lord really speaks of God's power. And in order for a person to really believe, it takes the work of that mighty arm of God. Verse 39, "Therefore they could not believe." Boy, that's a strong one, isn't it? They could not believe. In other words, they didn't have the ability to believe on their own as fallen children of Adam. Adam's children are very proud. "Oh, I could do it any time I wanted to." Verse 40. "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them." These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Amen. We end our reading there. At the close of that chapter, and we trust that the Spirit of God would take these mighty words of the Lord Jesus Christ and cause them to be fresh and living, so that we may, even as Christians, be sanctified and changed, and those without the Savior may be drawn mightily to Him today for Jesus' sake. We are looking at one verse. It was the verse I quoted at the beginning of the service, verse 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." God is light, John said in his first letter, chapter 1 and verse 5. And it's very interesting, the Greek word for light is the word phos, and it means a shining forth. Now, light is the very nature of God. God is light. And as such, He glows. God shines with glory, and He shines forth. His nature is not only light. Paul tells us in Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. And you know very well that fire does not just give off heat. Fire gives off light. Now both light and heat are purifiers because their very nature is purity. God is absolutely pure and holy. And this is a part of His nature that He actually communicates and gives to His creation. Therefore, God said in Genesis 1 and verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. This is the most amazing thing, that God simply spoke and there was light, because it wasn't until 3 days later that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on that first day, He said, let there be light. And there was light shining forth into this creation from the very Godhead. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 that God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus told us in our verse here in John 12:46, that one of the purposes of His coming was for light to come into the world. Now, it's not just a natural light. There's already natural light here that God placed here, the sun, the moon, and the stars. But here is spiritual light coming in to the world. Now, literally what this verse is saying, I love this Greek. It says, I, ego, phos, I, light, have come into the world in order that the believing one should not remain in darkness. That's a very literal translation. Now, why did God come into this world as a man? As light, to bring believers out of darkness. So let us consider three truths from this verse. First of all, light exhibits God's glory. Light exhibits God's glory. Secondly, light exposes man's sin. Light exposes man's sin. And third, light executes God's recovery of man. It is this light that brings about the recovery of man. Now, first of all, light exhibits God's glory. John's presentation of the gospel is astonishing. It is in many ways unique. And one of the ways John's gospel is so different from the other gospels is that he uses three words twice as much as all the other gospel historians. And that is, he uses the word light twice as much, the word love twice as much, and the word life twice as much as the others. Now, Jesus said twice, I am the light of the world. Right here in John's gospel, chapter 8 and verse 12 and chapter 9 and verse 5. He said, I am the light of the world. Now, what does he mean? He is the spiritual light of the world. He is the light of salvation. He is the light that brings everlasting happiness and joy. J.C. Ryle, the old gospel preacher in Liverpool, he was the Episcopal bishop there, but he was a great gospel man, wrote many tracts that were used in the northern and the southern armies. And J.C. Ryle wrote about Christ, the true light. And he said about four things about him. So I'm going to say about seven things about him very briefly. All right. So he said Christ is the true light, meaning that Christ is the undeceiving light in opposition to all the falsehood that's in the world. People that pretend to have light No, Christ is the undeceiving light. Secondly, Christ is the real light. Unlike the dim ceremonies, the traditions, the types, and the shadows in the Old Testament, the real light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, he said, light, Christ is the underived light. His light did not come from anywhere else. He is the one who is the source of all light. He is the Word of God. By Him were all things made that were made. So it was Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, who spoke on that first day of creation, "Let there be light." He is known as the Word. That's amazing. He is the underived light. Fourthly, Christ is the superior light. There is no light greater than He is. He outshines all other lights. In the fifth place, Christ is the universal light. What did He say? "I am the light of the world." He didn't say, "I'm the light of the Jews," or "I'm the light of the Gentiles." He is the light for everyone who will come and believe on Him and receive Him. In the sixth place, Christ is the guiding light. He is the one who will safely carry you through all the mists and all the mazes of time into a happy eternity. And in the seventh place, Christ is absolutely the essential light. He is necessary to save you from falling forever. Now, we were reading in this. I thought it was so interesting. In verse 35, he says, "For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." How many here are still afraid of the dark? Some people here are still afraid of the dark, I can tell you. All right, now, when you're walking, you ever walk in pitch dark? I mean, just black darkness. And you're walking alone. My parents came through the Depression. So they have a light bulb, I guess different light bulbs, known as misers. They're supposed to save you electricity. Well, I don't turn on a lot of lights at the church when I'm here. I walk in this room a lot when it's just really dark. Sometimes I run into the pews. But, you know, when you are in the pitch dark, you grab something or you reach for something, hoping you will not stumble and fall. Well, Christ is the light. He's the only one you can hang on to. The only one that will keep you from falling forever into the bottomless pit. He is the light, and how awesomely bright is Christ shining. At His birth, the light burst forth upon those shepherds. The light of that star burst forth upon the wise men in the east when our Savior was only 12 years of age. His light shined in the temple, giving amazing questions and answers to the doctors of the law. When He began His preaching, He shined the true light, the true interpretation upon the law, upon the Old Testament, and He made that law honorable. His parables in His teaching threw wondrous light upon the whole kingdom of God. So I say, His light not only exhibits God's glory, but secondly, His light exposes man's sin. A couple of days ago, my wife cleaned out this coat rack of ours. We have a coat rack in the hall. And she just pulled these coats off and threw them in the washer to clean them up, to freshen them up. Now, I have to say that sometimes in just ordinary house light, I'll take off a jacket and hang it back in the closet, not knowing that there is any spot on that jacket. But last week, I was in here giving a Greek quiz to Deborah's granddaughter. And as she was taking that quiz, I laid my jacket down on this podium in there. And as I laid my jacket down, I noticed, oh, you got some spots there. What are that? You know, that bright light in the dining room showed it. I mean, those fluorescent, really white, bright lights showed it up. And I hadn't been able to see it in just ordinary house lights. Oh, it's got to be clean. So, okay. But you know, that's exactly the way the Lord Jesus Christ is. It is His bright light that reveals ugly flaws and imperfections that previously lay hidden in the shadows of this world. Christ, as the light of the world, has come not only to exhibit God's glory, but also to reveal the rottenness of our sin. Jesus said in the same Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 22, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin." What does He mean? If I had come, they would have continued kidding themselves about being all right. And you know, Jesus dealt with a lot of people that were that way. They were very religious and they thought they were okay simply because they were religious. But Jesus said, now that I've come, they can't hide it anymore. Now there's no way to keep our sin hidden under the rug. Since Christ has come, men's sins are not hidden. Because His Word and His Spirit searches us very deeply. As the psalmist said, deep calleth unto deep. It is the depth of this immense God that searches the depths of our very hearts. Christ is not like any of the Old Testament prophets. He's not like the apostles, because the apostles and the prophets all had their own problems with sin. Jesus Christ had no problem with sin. He knew sin. He saw sin. He recognized sin in all people, and He recognizes it in us. None of our sin can escape His notice. The light of His perfect knowledge shines right through us, right into our hearts. He knows us completely. And Jesus said in John 3 and verse 19, "Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Sinners try to hide in the darkness of sin. That's the way human nature is. Let me hide it. I don't want it to come out in the open. You remember after the French Revolution, that awful place, the Bastille prison in Paris was demolished. But before that prison was demolished, a prisoner was brought out who had long lain in one of those dark dungeons in the Bastille. And he could not bear to see the light of the day. And his friends were all dead. He had no home to go to. His body was weak and emaciated. His only desire was to go back and die in the place where he had been held for so long. And it is this very way with many sinners. Don't disturb me. Don't demand any change or repentance in my life. I am determined to live and to die as I am without Christ. The light exposes what hides in the darkness. But many want to be left alone and not made to hear the truth. Some love gross sins. Sins that are very repulsive to many of us. But some people refuse to face their sins of pride, their intellectual arrogance, their selfishness, their love of man's approval, and their self-righteousness. But you can be sure that when anyone refuses or rejects Jesus Christ, there is something not right in the heart. Either obvious sin or some hidden heart sin. The light came to exhibit God's glory. Christ, the light, came to expose man's sin. And thirdly, the light came to execute man's recovery. Notice what verse 46 says. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Darkness is man's natural habitat. It's man's comfort zone. But he said, "I came to deliver, to recover man so that he doesn't have to remain or abide in that darkness." Jesus Christ came to recover lost sinners.
When he came to Lazarus' grave, what did he say? He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he raised Lazarus from the dead in chapter 11, the previous chapter. When he came in the chapter before that, in chapter 9, to the blind man, what did he say? He said, I'm the light of the world. And then he made that anointing salve and he put it on the man's eyes. And in a few minutes, that blind man was no longer blind. Jesus, the light of the world, had given that man light, even as he had given that other man life. Christ, the light of the world, recovers lost sinners by applying the overwhelming light of spiritual truth to the heart. Do you remember that great case of the Apostle Paul, when he was still Saul of Tarsus, back in the book of Acts, chapter 9, he was on the road to Damascus. Didn't have anything to do with God. Didn't want to have anything to do with God's people, but kill them and put them in prison. And suddenly, there shined such a bright light from heaven upon Saul that he fell down to the ground. Now, what do you call that? Saul was totally overwhelmed by Christ's irresistible light. The light was both blinding and blessing. For 3 days, Saul was blinded to the things of this passing world. He had a lot of time to think. And then he was blessed with converting grace and grace to truly pray and to get hold of God. Jesus said here in this 46th verse, I am come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Didn't have to abide. Didn't have to remain in that Messiah-less mess of Judaism with no Christ, rejecting the very Christ of God. Well, sadly, many of the Jews, though they were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, they chose to abide in the darkness of that Christless Judaism. A missionary many years ago was witnessing to a Hindu leader of his people, a religious leader of the Hindu people. And the Hindu contended that Christians had no respect for life. And the missionary said, what do you mean? He said, well, you don't respect life because you're hurting God's creatures. You eat birds and you eat fish and you eat all kinds of animals. And he said, I would not stoop to such a thing. I could never become so cruel as you Christians. Well, one day, the missionary invited the Hindu to his own home. And as they were talking and sipping from glasses of water, very hot, and they were sitting there, and the missionary said to the Hindu, he said, would you please take a little drop of water from your cup and put it on this little rectangular piece of glass for me. So he held out this little rectangular slide glass and the Hindu put a drop of water on. The missionary then took that thin piece of glass and put it in the middle of a microscope on the table. And when he had got it all focused, he invited the Hindu to come and look down the tube of the microscope. And the missionary then said, you see all those little animals that are swimming around in that water? Every time you take a drink of water, you are digesting these little creatures by the hundreds in the water of this country. Well, the evidence was clear. The Hindu was seeing the great inconsistency of his life with his own beliefs. Suddenly, he grasped the microscope and he threw it down to the floor and smashed it. Rather than yield to the conviction of the truth, the Hindu violently rejected it. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light. Jesus said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide or remain in that darkness. You know, today light is still streaming profusely from our Lord Jesus Christ. You must look to Him. You must trust Him. You must receive Him. You must rest on Him and rely on Him alone for your salvation. If you look to Him, you will live forever. But the reason why many people miss heaven and go to hell is that men in darkness love the darkness. They simply reap the fruit of their own way, and they have what they prefer. They love darkness, so they will ultimately be cast forever into outer darkness. They do not relish the light. They do not want the light, so they will forever be shut out from the light. There is an open willingness in Christ to receive sinners, any sinner. If you will not come to the light, the fault is entirely yours. Your blood will be upon your own head. Eternal misery will be the result of your own choice. If you love darkness, then darkness will be your everlasting portion. Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Let us pray together. Let us all pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for our Savior who has come into this world. What a blessing to know that even as a tiny infant, the great God of the universe came into this world where we live in order to live and to die for us. And Lord, we praise Thee for that overwhelming, shining light, the very outshining of the Father, the express image of the Father's person. Oh, we rejoice in the Savior. And Lord, we pray that Thou will take Thy word and emblazon it on every heart in this gathering. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt produce faith, produce fruit that will remain for eternity. God who quickeneth all things, and Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, keep thee without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Amen.